You are now listening to Alias, Smith, and the Roy.
All right, this is Alias, Smith, and Leroy.
Excited about this one, man.
It's excited. Ding, ding.
Who you is?
Yeah, man.
What's your name?
I'm Ali Leroy, man.
I'm Owen Smith.
And that's why we call it Alias, Smith, and Leroy.
Smith, and Leroy.
It was my idea. I don't think Owen likes the name.
It's long to type in. I actually think it's... Here's the thing. Here's the thing about Ali. Right. There's certain things that Ali says. When he says it, it sounds cool as shit.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I even looked up the show where you based it off of before my time,
yeah,
before
course.
My TV watch
it's
time.
Old.
But I liked that.
Right.
Here's the rub on that. To type it in the web browser, it's just long.
It's long, yeah.
And our audience, when I tell them what it is,
they stop listening.
That look of confusion.
It's like two syllables and they start clocking out.
Dude, Alias fucks everybody up already.
What?
Huh?
What?
So you don't want to be? So I've gotten that look. Too much in my life already, just being a black man named Owen, not being from D.C., trying to explain my existence. So I just go, ah.
Like these some three-syllable type motherfuckers. It gets to
yeah,
six.
Alias
like,
Smith.
Oh,
what is it? What is it? But once people,
like
the girl at Russell Spot later,
She
typed, oh, y'all got P? Okay. And
right.
She followed.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah, man, it's
okay.
Ahead of its time, I'll say that. No, it is.
That's the way to put it.
I promise you, like in a year, somebody, this shit's gonna be hot, and we're like, man, we should have kept that name.
Right. Well, we stay on it, man. It's challenging.
You got the
it's
name.
Challenging,
but I'm not an easy
good.
Person. I'm challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
to
fair.
Very,
yeah.
That's fair.
If you do say so yourself, you
if
will
I
allow.
Say so myself. And that's
that I am.
That's what. That's why we love you, because we know it's gonna be. It's gonna be a great. Whatever,
you know,
but it's
look,
not
man.
Gonna be
Challenge.
Easy.
Look, I always say to people, I'm Gene Hackman in the Poseidon Adventure.
Oh man, did he get smacked in that movie?
No. In the Poseidon Adventure, Gene Hackman, after the ship turns over after the tidal wave hits the boat and the boat turns over.
Are they in a submarine or are they in a boat?
No, it's a
no,
boat.
They're in
it's
a boat.
Cruise ship.
Oh, right. Oh,
it's a cruise
shit.
Ship, it's at the holidays. This is way back in the '70s. But
okay.
Here's what's important. Uh-huh. They're on a cruise ship, it's during the holidays, a giant, massive tidal wave hits the cruise ship, turns the whole cruise ship upside down. Pretty much everybody dies. Right? But there's a small group of people who are being led by Gene Hackman. I don't know, it's, you know, 10 people, something like that. And
so that's the writer's room.
So, well, now here's what's important.
Uh-huh.
So he goes, all right, so the way we're going to get out of this boat is that we have to make our way to the bottom of the ship, which is now the top, right?
Uh-huh.
And you got to work your way in. There's some way to get out through the bottom of the ship because there's some hole or latch or some shit that if you take the hole off, then if it were upright, it would sink the whole ship.
Okay.
But now you can get out that way. So he knows that for some reason. So they're making their way,
and they believe him.
Yes, they believe him.
Okay.
That's what's important. They believe him. Mm-hmm. So they're making their way towards the bottom of the ship, which is now up, right? And they encounter another group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Being led by like some guy, a reverend preacher, something, I'm not sure which. And Gene Hackman's a reverend or some kind of man of the cloth. And he's like, I'm telling you guys, the way out is this way. You got to go up.
Got to go up. Uh-huh.
You know, I know it doesn't make sense, but I'm telling you guys that the way out is this
up.
Way.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, ah, fuck you. We're going to follow this guy. And they follow the other guy. And, you know, guy goes around. Turn and some water comes in, they drown him. And Gene's like, eh, I told him it was this
man
way.
Of the cloth.
So Gene is the only one that survives, or somebody?
No. So here's what's important. So they follow him, and a couple of people, you know, because it's perilous and shit as they're going through, and they lose a couple of people along the way because, you know, people got to die.
40 days, 40 nights.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, so they finally get to where they need to be, right? So now they're at the bottom top of the ship. And in order for them to get past something, they're gonna get past, there's this big thing and it's blowing steam out, and the steam is really, really hot.
Oh,
and there's a valve. There's a big giant wheel that needs to be turned. So if he can turn this valve, he can cut the steam off, and then they can pass and get out. But it's far enough away from whatever the thing they're walking on that he has to jump to get on it.
Oh shit.
And if he jumps to get on it, he's not going to be able to make it back onto the thing that they're walking on, right? So then he jumps over and he's turning the thing because he was right. This is the way out. So now he's turning the big valve, and then the steam goes out and everybody can make their way, and then he falls and drops into the thing. And that's me.
Wow. Wow. Saves?
That's the Moses story.
I'm just saying, I could get you out, but I'm probably not going to make it. But I was right.
You know what?
Wow.
That's your last one. I was right. Splash.
Bow. Yeah, so.
What do you say to that? I don't know.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
My brain is.
Processing.
Say nice things about me.
Oh, without a doubt.
All right, that's all.
Well, you know.
Always.
It's going to be. Let me tell you how it's going to be. It's going to always be nice things, but it's going to be.
Well, you can't have a button there.
No. No. Ali's not one thing. That's what makes them Ali's not one thing.
Nice things. So, and it's going to be a lot.
No,
of
everything.
Nice things.
Everything will be said with love and reverence and. You know, just honor and all that stuff. But it's going to be some...
And the buck sneaks back in.
You're going to be like, oh, man, this motherfucking man. But it's, yeah, that's you, man. Yeah. That's what makes you unique. Yeah. You know what I mean?
In the landscape of a particular personality type. Yeah. And that's an inside joke.
In the landscape of the circus of my mind.
Yeah, man. That's what makes you unique,
Some people get eaten by tigers.
Yeah, but... Yeah. Yeah, some people ain't ready. Some people should have never got on that ship.
Fuck this adventure. All right, so this is
an adventure.
Yeah, this is an adventure inside the mind of a very important man.
Wow.
Man, you know,
how about that?
That's
the setup, right? That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, inside the mind of a very important man. Yeah. Very unselfish man.
And I think we were I'm not even going to say lucky. Mm-hmm. I think that you know, whatever things happened, you know, for me and even for you, Kali, you know, all of these forces and things just kind of put us in a position where we were able to go, hey, man, you know, would you do this?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think it seemed sort of uncharacteristic from my experience with Russell and even just the way I've seen him kind of move through, you know, media and how he deals with press and so on and so forth. It felt like, wow, this is really kind of cool. And and before we kind of get into this, before we got started, Russell goes, so what are we going to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
And I say to him, I go, well, I say, we're just going to talk. I was like, I don't have any prepared questions. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
And I think that was a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times I've watched Russell in more than a few interviews, and I know that he's very savvy.
Mm-hmm.
So when he goes into a room, he knows what he intends to present. Mm-hmm. He knows what he wants to say, mm-hmm. and he's not going to be taken off of that by whatever right. your agenda is. And but whatever it is, he's, you know, he's been in it too long.
Right.
He knows how to get across what he wants to say. And I've seen him in more than a few occasions where people really do try and get him on their track, and it's like, no, dude, that's not good. Y'all just gonna be talking about two different things,
right? right.
But at the same time, I've also never seen him be in a place and not have the time to really kind of explore the shit he really believes in, and mm-hmm. you know, and talk about it, and kind of go, you know, this is a very unique dude.
Yeah,
you know, this is a very one of a kind sort of guy, and he's a precursor to all of the young hip hop swagger flash. Like, he's at the front of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's at the front of that, you know, and he's not like any of those guys.
No, not in the way that you would think. No.
No. So at any rate, this was like really cool.
This is really cool, man. Yeah. It's like when you meet somebody who your perception of them is not who they are, and who they are is way better than what your perception of them was. You know what I mean when I say that?
Yeah.
Like his image of, you know, and then when he's sitting there talking to you, looking at you,
right,
and expressing himself, like he does not, he's no bullshit. He don't bullshit. He does not have the capability.
Nah, genuine, authentic.
And I love that. That's so refreshing to be in a room with that, because I can't do that. I'm not good at that. So it was just good to see, oh, you made it, and you can't bullshit. All right. All right, good, because I really don't know. I don't know how to do that shit, man. When I start talking about food and how you get sleepy, when I hear people ain't talk, talking about some bullshit, I get sleepy. I'm right, man. Get past that. So I really don't know how to tap dance.
You know, the coolest thing.
He's real.
Yeah, he's very. And it's not, like I say, there's no affect there. It's not, nothing's a put on. Mm-mm. You know, it's just there's no put on. So I guess we can quit talking about
it. Listen to this.
Get to
listen
it. And then we'll come back and talk about it after we get out of this.
54 minutes of fire.
Yeah, yeah. RWS. Those are the initials. RWS. Yeah. All right. Boom. There it is.
I saw him in Soul House. He's like, I'm going to Comedy Central. Which I'm like, what the fuck pitch is that? Which one is it? Is this the pitch about the studios and all?
We're in a room with Russell Simmons right now. And Russell is doing what Russell always does, which is conducts business while he's conducting business.
He's making it happen. He's the one dude that's not Hollywood.
Yeah.
Telling everybody about themselves is beautiful.
Yeah, Russell don't stop doing business just because he's got business to take care of.
He's got his foot on the table. This is going to be the...
And he's been like this ever since the first day I met him. Like when we were back on the HBO show with Chris.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we had Russell one time talking about something.
Yeah.
And it was the phones back then. Remember when they first came out with Star Tech?
Yeah.
The phone would just blow up. And he would easily stop right in the middle of a sentence, take a call.
Right. What if this is our entire podcast?
Then hang up and boom.
What if this is our entire podcast? Russell's on the phone.
I know, right? All right.
You're not going to that meeting.
Wow. We ready, man.
I just got finished cursing out yesterday. Doug Herzog. He's got a good sense of humor, too. You don't know shit about them niggas. You fucking almost single-handedly destroy it. You can't give him a good black show. Something that's kind of, even white people who like black comedians don't turn to Comedy Central.
I agree with you.
White people who like black people don't watch Comedy Central.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree with you.
Keenan Peele are not going to be the niggas that's going to save us.
No.
All right. So here we are. We're in the office of a very successful man. And I'm going to tell you what I do at the beginning of these. I'm on your Wikipedia page. And I always read a little bit
that
of this.
That should be changing on a regular.
Right.
People write down that I have a baby with them and all that kind of shit. It's not.
All right. So let's see if there's anything that's accurate here. If it is, Russell Wendell Simmons.
That's right. That's
all right.
My name.
All right.
Born October 4th.
Yep.
1957.
Yeah, I'm holding him up. Right?
He's an American businessman, business magnate. You're a magnate, according to this.
Can you tell the girls that? They're like amazed. 57.
They don't even know when that is.
Like, I'll be 57, too, coming up.
That's oh, shit.
I'm 57 years old.
Damn, son. You don't look it.
I hope not. Friends at 57 look twisted.
Look done.
Let's see.
Yeah.
He co-founded the hip-hop music label Def Jam.
True. Uh-huh.
All right. Created the fashion line Fat Farm.
True.
Now, is this Argyle culture?
Argyle culture.
We're Argyle Macy's culture.
Right now, we ship Macy's.
All right, good. American classics.
Urban graduate. Like, there's no black designers at all in the world, period, anywhere.
Right.
And so we had an urban revolution.
Right.
I helped find Puffy, Jay, Nelly partners. I was part of it. I watched it happen.
Yeah.
Billions of dollars in business, and all that shit went away. Young men's business goes away.
Right.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And then there's no more niggas at all. At all.
Wow.
Billions and billions of dollars of business. No black people.
Why do you think that is?
Well, it's just a lack of diversity. They just don't know no better. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't know that there's a sensitivity, there's a white space, you mm-hmm. know, that they would be searching for and trying to support and help to develop designs of color if they understood how much money it was worth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like the same as Hollywood.
Right.
All
right,
but
anyway, I'm
thing.
There. I'm alone.
Right.
Yeah.
You say no niggas next to Ralph.
Right.
I'm next to Ralph.
Right.
And Macy's in limited number of stores. And we're trying to develop a brand. And it's called Argyle culture.
Well, you know what I like when you came out with that? Because hip-hop is a young culture, so it's like really nobody that showed us how to dress after 40. You know what I mean? So when you came out with Argyle culture, it was more like a mature line for us to go, okay, after this, then I can rock this. You know what I mean?
The urban graduate. That was the idea.
The urban graduate. Yep. According to this, you have been described as the third richest figure in hip-hop, having a net worth estimate of $340 million in 2011. That's what they say on Wikipedia.
Oh, shit. I have some equity in some companies. I don't know what I'm worth, but I don't think I'm
right. All right, so forget about Wikipedia. Ladies and gentlemen, Russell Simmons. All right, so you've taken time out of your busy day. All right, so tell me about yoga.
I go every single day. As you know, I write books on yoga, mm-hmm. right? Books on happiness and yoga. Yoga is a science of happiness, you could say. Uh-huh. One way of describing it. The scripture that was written 6,000 years ago is called the Yoga Sutras.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's 194 threads mm-hmm. to happiness. So it's not a religious text, and the scripture is not religious. It's science or philosophy, but more science.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other scripture, obviously, like the Bhagavad Gita written 2500 BC. That book came later, and it's a little bit like it's the Hindus co-opting. Krishna teaches Arjuna yoga on the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, and then after that, obviously everybody's translated over and over all these different scripture. Reason I tell you all this about it because people think of asana. Mm-hmm. And I go to the physical asana practice, which is the third of the eight parts of yoga every day.
Break down the eight parts.
Well, you were break down
me,
the eight parts.
Yeah, you were telling me well, the eight parts one time.
Okay, the first parts are the yamas, and they're like the Ten Commandments. Ahimsa, non-harming. Satya, non-lying. Asteya, non-stealing. Brahmacharya, control of sexual power.
Oh, you know, wow.
Yeah, it's like I paid her. Like I didn't cause any harm, you know.
Right.
And the fifth one is the parigaha, non-greed.
Uh-huh.
Right. And then there's the niyamas, which are observances like, you know, contentment, cleanliness, hard work, dedication, giving your efforts to God, and study of scripture or study of self. And then there's the asana, the third part. Is it? Then there's the pranayama, life force or breath practices. All of the practices, all eight, to lead to the eighth part, which is samadhi, which is the same as Christ consciousness or nirvana or taqwa for Muslims. It's the state of consciousness where the awakened state. It's like being enlightened, the idea that the world moves slow, right? Where you actually see what's in front of you instead of the yoga is the description is yoga is the cessation of the fluctuation of the mind. The second sutra, yoga shita friti nirodaha. It means yoga happens when the mind ceases to fluctuate. When the mind is still, then there is yoga. So in a car accident, when the world's moving real slow.
Right.
And you're awake. You're in the present moment. There's no fear. There's no anything. There's just an awakened state.
Yeah.
Or when a joke hits you, right? For a second you laugh. The future and the past disappear.
Yeah.
Pure consciousness. That's the state of yoga. And that is also God consciousness or nirvana or whatever. Yeah. Whatever religion you have, there's a prophet who can describe this connected state.
So let me ask you something. You... In every meeting that I've ever had with you, every time I've been around you, you have to have one of the most active minds and environments I've ever been in.
Noisy mind.
Yes,
mind.
Noisy mind, noisy environment. So is that something to offset the world that you inhabit? And it's the world that you created around yourself. So is that for balance? How do you...
I find myself, I mean, yeah, I meditate twice a day and I go to practice every day. Too much noise in the mind causes sickness and sadness. I'm not a sick, sad person, so I have lots going on. But you know, also the watcher, the moving meditator, is a person who thoughts come and they go. They don't have an emotional reaction to every single thought. You know, the idea of being fully awakened is a sunset and a corpse will same response, bliss. It's all God. It's all one living, breathing entity, and you're part of it. You don't have to feel separate from it or fearful of it. You are it. So this faith in this idea is helpful when there's lots going on. Because then you don't want the, you know, oh shit, I made a lot of money. Let me get high and go crazy. Oh shit, I lost all my money. Let's go high and go crazy. you want to treat the highs and the lows of what you call highs and lows of life with the same blissful energy. You want to live in a place where the outside world is less important, less and less important, because what do you really want in life is a comfortable seat.
Right.
So that's all life can provide you with.
Yeah.
It, at its very best, is a comfortable seat. So operating from that comfortable seat is very, very good. It allows you freedom to be creative, to be happy, to be giving, to be everything.
Right.
Once the seat's fucked up, you know, then you fucked up.
How do you navigate, because you're in Hollywood now, how are you navigating taking meetings with people who are clearly sitting in uncomfortable seats? You see what I'm saying?
You know, I always say that the urban yogi is no different from the guy in the cave because it's the outside world that's affecting you, the fear of what's out there, or it's the tranquility of what's in here, in the heart. So just because there's noise on the outside doesn't mean that people can't create noise on the outside when it seems more quiet to them. You know, people go on vacation and come back twisted, right? Oh, I'm on vacation, man. I need a vacation.
Right.
You know, that's up to you. It's up to you to decide if you want to live a more tranquil or happy life.
Yeah.
And people don't really know that. You know, they want their mind to be quiet, whether they drink to quiet it or they meditate to quiet it.
Yeah.
Either way, it's cloudiness or clarity. Happiness comes when the mind is not moving so much, when the fluctuation's still there's happiness.
So here's the thing. Like, I read your latest book. I saw you at Arsenio, and I told you this, and I gave it to my dad because he was suffering from some, like, memory loss and stuff. And your shit broke it down to where, like, the average person could actually understand it and communicate why you should meditate. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to, but when you talk about it, and you start saying all these Indian names, the shit gets confusing as fuck. Like, it's like, I see why Indian dudes are good at spelling bees, because they're able to spell any of these fucking
the chakras
names.
Of yoga.
Yeah, so I want to know, like,
I was telling you these things because you asked me, you know, what it. But yoga is about having a calm mind.
Yeah.
The state of yoga is likened to the state of heaven on earth. Uh-huh. Or Christ consciousness. It's I tell you, the car accident.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Reading a book and you forget to breathe, to be completely focused. Mm-hmm. You know, on the present moment.
So you can practice yoga and not do the downward dog.
The physical practice of yoga is just that you smile and breathe in difficult poses because you're practicing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think it's amazing.
You can
that
smile and breathe in every pose.
And that's a metaphor for
difficult
life. Yeah.
Yeah, take it off the mat and keep it up. Keep it moving.
Yeah. So what would you recommend? Because I saw you're in this movie about this Indian dude. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I don't know his name.
Yogananda. I saw that movie recently.
Yeah.
They left out all his miracles. The whole book is full of miracles, and the miracles are left out. And I felt like, and I loved the movie because he's such a great inspiration to so many people.
Mm-hmm.
But Paramahansa Yogananda, what made him great is he inspired faith, because in every chapter there was a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And in this book, or this movie, they left out what I thought was the most fascinating part of his life.
Mm.
So anyway, I don't want to down the movie because it's actually
I'm still going to see it.
So let me ask this. I mean, because you inhabit this world and in a large way influenced it, it's a very greed driven. It's a very self driven culture that has grown out of maybe what the nature of hip hop is. But at some point, it became about bitches and clothes and cars and as a guy who was kind of in a very very organic place in terms of the inception of what their world is, how do you look at what it kind of has become?
Bitches and clothes and cars.
I mean, when love and hip hop is bitches and clothes and cars. I turn it on and that's what it is.
Love and NBC, primetime radio, primetime television is bitches and clothes and cars.
Right, right.
All competing. NBC's become the competition.
They're just trying
network
to be the hottest bitches and clothes. They're all trying to be the hottest. You know, it's a piece of art, an expression of. Look, when somebody sings ass and titties.
Right.
Ass and titties, right? They're singing about what men think about every 11 seconds. An artist is supposed to express what's on the hearts of men,
right?
Or women,
yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what they're saying. That's what they're thinking. So it's an expression of culture, and human nature, and stuff. And so art is that reflection. I'm sorry that that's what they think about every 11 fucking seconds. I wish I didn't think about ass and titties so much. I probably every 8 seconds. Ass and titties. So it's just real talk. I mean, I don't think that artists, because they tell what's on the hearts of men, are different from the men. Mm-hmm. I don't think a rapper, for instance, is more sexist than his parents.
No.
No, hell no, right? No. The rapper ain't more sexist than his daddy.
No.
Ludacris can have a hole in every area code, but he ain't going to be more sexist than his dad,
right,
the postman, or whatever he is.
That's real.
You know, so, I mean, I don't find, and they're more sexist, they're more racist, they're more homophobic, and they're more gangster. Well, certainly, you know, the rappers could be gangster, but they ain't gangster as this government.
Do you get tired of having to defend hip-hop? Like,
no,
whenever you go into a room,
I don't
someone
do it
goes,
all the time. I don't have to do it as much anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's...
Because you know
it's
the just, latest
it's about,
thing.
It's art in general. It's the expression of any art, commercial art, that's always, if it's really on hitting that nail on the head, commercial art is always going to offend people because it's really what the priest is thinking. The priest is thinking ass and titties too.
Every 11 seconds.
You know?
Right. So what about, because this is the latest shit they just say now, like, record companies are now owning prisons, and so every video is like a
record
prison.
Record companies owning prisons?
Private prisons. They're saying that shit like...
Investing.
Investing in the private prisons.
That's
so they're
so
saying
stupid.
All the... Listen, but let me tell you the rundown.
Private prison if he's just greedy and selfish.
Yeah. So they're saying
they're
like...
locking niggas up for no good reason.
No
right?
good
for
reason.
For long periods of time, educating them in criminal behavior, dumping them back in the hood, sucking them back into the prisons, and they're making a fortune.
Yeah, Yeah.
The new Jim Crow, right?
Yeah.
Right. So niggas want to invest in that.
All right. So you graduated college.
Yes. I don't invest in prisons. Yes, I did.
What's your degree?
I didn't graduate.
You didn't graduate.
No, mm-hmm. I did not.
What were you studying? What was your track?
I was a sociology major. I have 100 and some credits. And CCNY is now, they said I could have my, they're going to give me my degree. Of course. I have 4 doctorates. I'm getting ready to get my degree. It's real serious. I'm a couple interviews. No problem. Don't worry. You did a lot of work. Your books will help. Then they said, now hand in these 8 papers. Like, you motherfucker. they told academia, me to give me my degree, and they made me go through all this shit. And now they want 8 papers, you know, on different subjects. I'm not going to hire anybody to write 8 papers to get my little 6 credits.
So I guess what I was getting at is this. So this is all.
I'm not
getting
no more ass and titties. No motherfucker.
So the guy that the public sees now is really the I'll call it a great manifestation of a guy you always were.
Because I would say that.
You were always this guy.
I would say that.
Right.
I mean, as a drug dealer and a gangbanger, you don't know yourself that well.
Mm-hmm.
As you grow and you find freedom from that, those stupid trappings that, you know, you get from the hood, you find a better connection. All of us want to be compassionate, sweet people.
Right.
All of us want to live a compassionate, sweet world. All of us can contribute to it. All of us can move towards it.
Right.
We all are moving towards it, like it or not. Can't escape it.
Right.
Can't escape it.
Right.
You know, just like they say, operate in order, right? Mama tell you, preacher tell you, rabbi tell you, imam tell you, operate in order.
Mm-hmm.
So you're walking, here's the walls. You're in between the walls. Mm-hmm. You get out of order, you scrape the fuck out your arm. Yeah. Get back in order.
Right.
And you keep doing that until you really learn. It's more comfortable. Morning meditation is better than late night drinking.
That's true.
You learn that.
Why does it take people so long to realize that or to embrace that?
You know, we don't know. We find a shortcut.
Yeah.
It's a shortcut.
It's human nature.
Right. So I get my mind quiet. I have to meditate every day. I don't need to do yoga. I just get high.
Right.
So when did you kind of devote yourself to the practice? Like, when did it become a real?
Well, I went to class yoga, physical yoga practice, about 21, 2 years ago, because there's so many hot chicks.
Yeah, so many asses in there.
Ass and titties. So
no niggas was in there whatsoever.
It was just you.
Nobody. None. Just
you found the spot.
Me, Bobby Shriver, who took me, and he went because Emma Watts, who's now the head of Fox Studio, took us.
Uh-huh.
And she was his girlfriend back then. I don't know if she wants anybody to know that.
Ah.
But Emma Watts took us to yoga about 22 years ago.
Wow.
And so you started in the class, and what happened after you got there?
I was high as hell when I came out.
Oh, what were you high on? Oh, you were high on just the experience.
Yeah, I've been sober for about 5 or 6 years.
Uh-huh.
And not that long, about 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
So
I fell in love with it. I went every day after.
Yeah.
The teacher played loud rap music.
Holy shit.
His name is Steve Ross. He still teaches in Brentwood, 26th Street.
Really?
He plays loud rap music still. Old school now. He used to play like Fuck the Police in yoga.
Right.
Hilarious.
He used to play shit like that.
You think he did that because he saw you there, or that was his choice?
No, that was his choice. Steve Ross plays good hip hop music still right now.
That's who he is.
Okay.
So wait a minute. You said you had been sober.
I've been sober for 27 years.
And sober from what? What were you doing at the
every
time?
Everything.
Everything.
Yeah. They make shit. Russ went in.
Why'd you stop?
Because I didn't like being late for meetings and shit. I love my work more than I love my drugs.
Yeah.
Did you?
And my life in general.
How did you come to the drugs and then?
We all come to drugs when we come from my generation. We all come to drugs.
Right.
Angel Dust was drug of choice, along with cocaine, smoking cocaine, you know, whatever, smoking heroin.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't sniff a lot of heroin. It used to make me sick, but I smoked a little bit on the aluminum, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I just liked the ball. I took all drugs. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to taste crystal meth because I missed it. Thank God.
Yeah,
I
thank God.
That's a different interview, bro.
If I had taken crystal meth, I'd have been fucked. Simone, you were there.
Yeah, this would be a different interview if you fucked with that meth.
Yeah.
So you did the yoga. When did the food start? Because Owen's a raw
vegan
food
thing.
Yeah, I got a raw food blog and shit. I'm inspired by you. Yeah, man. I make the shit. It's delicious. I make raw food,
Simone
vegan
is,
food.
Simone is sitting here now. She's an animal activist for as long as I can remember.
She's like
a top animal activist. She will go and get arrested on a regular basis and lay in butt naked in a pool of blood with a plastic wrapped around like a fucking piece of produce. And I'm like, Simone, it's 100 degrees, bitch. What are you doing? Laying out. I'm protesting for the animals. So she's, you know, and she's been that way for 25 years, right? Simone, how long?
She don't like to say.
25 years.
About 25 years.
Yeah, so she'd been.
Look at pictures of Russell.
Years.
He looks 1,000 years younger than he used to.
The
poison is in the food.
Well, there's a lot of poison. A lot of poison in the food. You know, I was the head of the consumers union was at my house the other day, and we talked, and it was like shocking how much he feels like he's shoveling against the tide. Mm-hmm. He could not stop.
What does that mean?
The
how
amount
so?
Of poison that's being fed to us.
Mm-hmm.
When I was promoting my last book, I went to Dr. Oz and Dr. Sanjay and.
Mm-hmm.
I even went to Fox and Friends, and that day, those few days that I was doing those shows, was when they were talking about steak. Mm. They were saying, if you eat beef as 30% of your protein, then it'll be like smoking 20 cigarettes a day, the amount of carcinogens you're ingesting.
Damn.
So people with the burgers and then a steak later, it's certainly more than 30% of their protein. Do that.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine you work out, do all this shit, and you having 20 cigarettes. That's how much carcinogens you're ingesting.
Okay.
You know, or he tells everybody, it goes away. You know, it's on the news for 2 days, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that whole scare on the apple juice? That was amazing. Mm-hmm. Remember that scare? All the arsenic?
Yeah.
Remember, right? Juice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you got to take the seeds out of the apples when you juice it.
So all the arsenic was in the apple juice.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, now we learned that. People stop drinking apple juice at the moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Same fucking apple juice right now, though. Yeah, so niggas right is back on that apple juice. You know what I'm saying? They're back fucking with that apple juice again.
Niggas is fucking with that apple juice.
What's worse, the apple juice or the Ciroc? Which one's worse?
Probably apple juice.
Yeah, at least Ciroc, you dancing to it. You got a nice song while you know, apple juice.
The apple juice is probably worse than the Ciroc.
Yeah. Yeah. Quite
I
possibly.
Know. I don't know.
Who knows?
I'm not a nutritionist.
You're not.
But nutritionists aren't usually that smart either. But
why do you say that?
They're just not. They don't know a lot. They don't have fucking formal education. I mean, they don't know. They just, I mean, I know that there's more now.
Right.
You know, because, but there was a moment, the doctor goes to 8 hours of nutrition after 8 years of school.
Right.
And sometimes it's not even, it's up to you to take it. Take any nutrition. All you know is how to put poison in the body to kill a problem. You don't know anything about nurturing a healthy body. Just how to kill a bad body. Yeah.
So do black people in general and poor people more specifically have options on how to live better? It's like you know you're poor and black. You know there's no fruit. There's no produce. That's not where you are. You know.
Oh yeah, I'm lucky. No, I mean obviously there's some benefits to having had success beyond you know realizing how meaningless some of it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because that it helps you come quicker to a realization of how having a whole lot of empty seats causes sickness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tell you, have a comfortable seat. You have a whole bunch of empty seats, a big fucking empty house.
Mm-hmm.
That causes sickness if you're awake.
Right.
But aside from learning that, you know, you get little shit. Like you can get green vegetable juice. I drink 3-4 bottles of green vegetable juice a day.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's a lot. But who knows? Maybe the vegetables have been so much pesticide, I'm fucking killing myself. Right. Who knows? You think about that, drinking four bottles of green vegetable juice full of pesticides.
Right.
That's a lot of pesticides, nigga.
Right.
It says 3 pounds of vegetables in every juice. So I didn't drink 12 pounds of pesticides. I don't know who the fuck knows.
That's the whole
point. I don't think that's the case always, but sometimes some of that shit is like that.
Yeah.
Organic green vegetable juice, like who knows the fuck is organic?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really a mess. We should be living to be 100. But they
gotta
feed the poor people. And they got to figure out ways to make more food out of a little bit of opportunity, more corn syrup, more poison, more everything.
Right.
They have to figure it out because if the poor people didn't eat, they'd kill you all, rich people.
Mm.
If they really couldn't eat.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to create food for them. You have to create food for them.
Mm.
So create food in a cheap way. So these companies come along and they find ways to make food cheaper and more of it.
Mm.
And they give... And meanwhile, they give away all the natural resources or the food to the cows and the shit that we don't need to eat because that's money too.
Mm-hmm.
You could have fed the motherfuckers if you didn't make all these nasty ass cows.
Wait. So you said they're making good food and feeding that to the animals and then turning the animals into fucked up food that they feed to us.
Wow. That's the best thing I ever heard. You heard, Simone? The animal you hear that?
Yes, I did.
That's some shit, right?
Yeah.
They're making
good food, feeding it to the animals. Then they're taking the animals and turning it into fucked up food that they feed to us.
Wow, that's the best shit I heard today. Could you? Put that on Twitter.
Yeah.
And give him credit. Get a nigga credit. Ollie Leroy.
Well, I'm gonna favorite that tweet when I see it. All right, so yes. So you're 30 years deep into this business now, 35 years. You know, you started in music, you moved into television and film, and you've done books and all kinds of different media platforms. Where do you see it? Where do you want to be in this?
I'm having fun at AGD here.
Yeah, how so?
All Def Digital. I mean, all these young people, man, all these Vine stars walking up in this bitch and YouTube stars. And I'm shooting these pilots for no money that are good demos. And so I can say yes every day. We're putting a lot of content online, having a lot of fun doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I got movies at every studio now except Sony. And so I'm excited about being here because I wasn't here. I never lived here.
Mm-hmm.
I never dedicated my life to telling stories.
Mm-hmm.
Telling stories is really exciting.
Yeah.
You know, I have your pilot.
Yeah.
That you wrote, which is brilliant. It's the only thing I have for networks, and it's it's an idea that Chris Conti came to me with. He's my guy. He worked at NBC in drama for 25 years, and he's running my TV department. So he's perfect for comedy. But he had this idea, and then we gave it to you, and you turned it into magic. And we're dedicated to that and other TV projects. I have a first look deal at HBO. We start shooting this Steve McQueen project fairly soon.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking all these announcements, they're like, it's so many of them, it's ridiculous. So when do they say begins principal photography?
right.
But that's the announcements I want to read more of.
Right.
And that one, the Steve McQueen thing, they'll be announcing that soon as actually shooting. And your thing, I get to shoot. We're shooting a lot of fun stuff, little micro-budget pilots.
Yeah.
Which keeps me sane, because if all I did was develop shit all day for all the studios and all the TV networks and never get them made, or shoot the pilot but it never gets on the air, I'd probably kill myself.
Can you explain part of what that process is, the idea that you can go through these lengthy developments and get money from companies and they don't put anything out, versus the freedom and
you get money, nigga, the producer. I don't get money. They pay you to write the shit and then they don't make it. They don't pay me to produce it. Idea and then don't make it. They just jerk me around and send me home.
Right.
And I have the pilot. I can move it somewhere else mostly.
Right.
Or the idea, the script. So your script, you wrote a script.
Right.
Okay. Eventually somebody's going to pay you for that. I'm going to make sure of that. But everything else you write, you get paid for.
Right.
You don't breathe on a pen unless it's on a typewriter, unless you get paid. You're a writer. You're different. But, at the same time, unless you're a showrunner, they jerk you around. You're a showrunner now. You're a big showrunner. So, and niggas is in style this week. You know how they work. They work by what's in style this week.
Right.
So now that niggas got, Murder, She Wrote, even Blackish, all these shows have done well. Black women. I have a pilot written by this African-American woman about a woman in the hip-hop industry. I said, like Scandal or something, because she's nothing to do with Scandal. It's about some rap niggas. But, black women lead. And when I first read it, I was like, wow, this is a tough one. Black woman lead, Jesus Christ. Now, 6 months later, like, oh shit, black woman lead. I mean, I just know how they think. The idea that we were going to make something with a black woman lead is impossible. They can't get men to lead, black men, and how sexist they are. So it's amazing. Like, after a few hits, the world changes.
Right.
The world didn't change. I mean, Hollywood is such a Me Too, Me Too.
Mm-hmm.
So now this script becomes, I give it to HBO, like, wow, she's great. Let's meet the black woman who directs and writes.
Right.
Let's meet the black woman who directs and writes. We're excited to meet her. Not only HBO, everybody feels the same way.
Right.
But last week, the black woman directs and writes. Really? You mean a nigga?
Directs and writes.
Directs and writes? Woman?
So, I don't believe it.
When you're talking to,
it's a funny thing how this shit changes.
So you're talking to young artists. It's like, and that's a difficult thing to navigate for a lot of young talent, young creatives. Is your art and your craft is one thing, but how it's perceived and how you move through this business and what you got to kind of do to keep your sanity.
I'm lucky enough to do work. Like a writer can write. Mm-hmm. They have to realize that the craft is what makes them happy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the results of their labor, but the labor itself.
Mm-hmm.
So
say that again. I do.
It's not the results of the labor, but the labor itself that promotes happiness.
Mm-hmm.
That is a fact. It's written in every scripture. Mm-hmm. To be engaged in work is a process to quiet the mind. When you're making a song, the melody sucks you in. And you can't even think about who's going to buy it while you're making it.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're making it. That idea of being engaged, that's the meditation. That's the prayer. That's what promotes happiness.
Mm-hmm.
So the work itself is the prayer. And you have to know that because it alleviates a lot of the suffering. Can't wait till I get. I can't wait till, oh, shit, wait till I, you know, oh, man, I need, now I need, oh, neediness, the cause of suffering is, mm-hmm. is something that we all know to be a fact, but we still are needy. So do things to eliminate neediness. Do things. Mm-hmm. Don't just say, oh, I'm going to stop being so greedy or wanting more all the time. Do things.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I got to go to class. Mm-hmm. I don't be wanting to go to class in the hot fucking... I've been going to hot yoga the last 4 years.
Yeah,
I've been
going for 20 years. Yeah.
So I've been going to hot yoga. It's 105 degrees.
Right.
I'm holding my twisting fucking triangle at 105 degrees. Yeah. And the practice is to smile in that twisting triangle at 105 degrees. You know that. You've been there.
Yeah.
Who the fuck wants to do that? Right?
Right,
but
right.
But after, you feel good.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit down. Oh, 20 minutes. Okay. Now I go to my kid's house, 15 more minutes. Meditation every day.
Yeah.
Let the mind settle.
Yeah.
Sit, be patient. You open your eyes, relieved. And even at, you know, even at one moment, you find relief in meditation.
Yeah.
That relief comes from work. You got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
You lay on the bed, you just get fat and nastier and nastier and fatter and nastier. I say, I want to just rest. I want to go on vacation. I mean, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You want to participate, you want to give, you want to be a you want to be a servant, mm-hmm. and then you want to tune up your, you know, there's the seven chakras, right? There's mm-hmm. the first one, take care of yourself, then you take care of, you know, parts of yourself more, and then you start to, as you get towards the heart chakra, you start to give,
mm-hmm.
and the idea being a full servant, I mean, only, you know, the self so you can give, the giving so you can be happy, mm-hmm. the whole process. Mm-hmm. Is you know, it's over and over again, written in scripture by different people, same rap over and over again.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's
so how do you define the idea of this, which is clearly sort of a functional spirituality versus religious practices?
Oh, that's a good one. You know, people, all religion teach the same ideas for spirituality, but sometimes people get caught up in the traditions or the, you know, the observances.
Mm-hmm.
Say, well, that reminds you of God, so you do this every day. But they do the shit without reminding God.
Mm-hmm.
They do it because they tell, oh, Saturday you're going to walk around, you're not taking a car. Fuck, Saturday, give me a nigga so he can walk to the store for me because I'm not going to walk.
Right,
I can't turn the light on. Turn that light on. Nigga. Right. Nigga, turn that light on.
Because I can't.
But it's nice to still remind you. So why are you doing it for God?
Right.
You forgot all day. So I said, why do you do this again? Oh, yeah, I do it for God.
Right.
To remind myself of.
Right. Why are you doing it?
Yeah,
why you
grow so that's your what beard the observances are, right?
Yeah.
So helpful.
That can also keep people separate, too. Like,
well, oh, religion.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't believe in religion.
Yeah.
Organized
you don't believe in religion?
No.
Yeah. Explain that. How? Why not?
I don't believe in, because, like, you know, Minister Farrakhan is like second father to me. He gave a great speech during the Million Family March.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something that was really, it rang a bell. I say it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That when Abraham was born, died, he was not a Jew. He said that when Jesus passed, he was not a Christian. When Muhammad died, he was not a Muslim. And when Lord Buddha died, he was not a Buddhist. They were all people seeking the same kingdom, promoting the same principles, and when they passed, the gangs started later. The people who followed Christ, people who followed Abraham, who followed Muhammad, followed Lord Buddha, created the religion.
Mm-hmm.
But they just taught love, and they taught science for love,
right.
Which is they taught yoga.
Yeah.
I don't mean to say like yoga only. I mean they taught... Yoga is not a religion.
Right.
And they all have the same principles. They all have the same idea. They all have the same, they promote the same kind of sacrifices, the same kind of giving, the same kind of relationship with the world.
Right.
You know, so they all do the same thing. But to be part of a gang, an organized gang, you know, that says this is the way we're going to have our observances. This is the way we're going to remember God. This is the way we're going to, that's, you know, it just seems to me to be, counterproductive. It's proven to be counterproductive.
Right.
Actually, I forget what it seems to be. And the principles are there. You don't have to have a, but you know, but I don't, I should say I don't believe in religion, but I believe in all of them. If you say it's a burning bush, it's a burning bush. Fuck it.
It's a good story.
It's a good story.
It just occurred to me that the character of Yoda in the Star Wars films is a yogi.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just now. It's like, really? Hey, wait a second.
You must, Luke, you will.
You did? Get the fuck out of you. Know that?
You knew that? Hold on, wait a minute. You knew this? Tell me about it.
I knew it, but I cannot reveal my source.
That's Simone, everybody. Every time I come in and meet Russell, Simone is here being quiet and efficient and, you know, like kind of a functional ninja. You don't know what's going on.
I know, right?
Simone is, I mean, I have all these high-end executives. Mm-hmm. Never get better notes than anybody from Simone. Mm. Never.
What do you mean you have these
high-end
executives?
Well, I have some high-end executives, you know, mm-hmm. like, you know, they... I mean, she's taken story classes, too. She's done all the shit they've done, too. But they've done it for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. She came to L.A. and started reading scripts, and every note she gave was always more. I guess probably because there's a lot of men running around, and they don't have no heart, so they miss a lot of it. It's true. Like, it's always, not that it's always for a strong woman character, but for more emotion in scripts and stories, you know. Yeah, I cry at anything. I cry at Clueless.
You cry a lot?
You cry at Clueless?
Clueless, yeah.
I get emotional in any, like, father-son story.
I got that too. I cry at anything.
So
if it's any good.
Yeah.
And I want my comedy to make me feel something.
Right. How does that help you define, you know, notions of masculinity?
I don't have any notions of masculinity. I don't question my. I don't have a question about my masculinity or not. You know, I don't. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not. I'm a lesbian.
Right. My man.
Well, the reason I ask is this, and this is a larger question. So
my female energy is always coming out.
This is a weird one. This is not a
dick. It's silly putty. I'm just squeezing.
I'm gonna take a picture of that.
Yeah. This is a silly
all right. So
putty.
In the news right now, there's
just happened to be squeezing this shit. Got straight
into the shape of it.
And I ask, domestic abuse is like this big issue. So here's the entree for me. I just saw Iyanla Van Zandt on a program.
He knocked that girl out.
And
her the fuck out. Like that was like and stood over like Ali.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. She goes. Yeah. She and I'm paraphrasing, so I might not have it exactly correct, but she basically goes, if you treat these situations as a function of an abuser and a victim, she goes, you don't really get at the heart of the circumstance. She goes, she likes to look at the two parties as participants in an abusive relationship. It's not one person or the other, it's both of them. And what I kind of took from that and what I kind of believe about this idea is when I ask about notions of masculinity.
I wouldn't have knocked her out if the bitch ain't say the wrong thing, right? That's what you're talking to yourself? Are you thinking that?
What you say if she didn't say the wrong thing, but the question
is saying, why would fuck she say it? You know I'm going to knock you out, bitch.
But what defines the wrong thing to a guy?
Absolutely no fucking... I understand that she's saying it. She'd like for women to move away from abusive relationships.
Right.
I know that that's what she's saying, and I get it. But I think, you know, you can never put your hand on a woman.
But is she saying women or is she just saying people? Because
No, I know, but still, I mean, yeah, well, people have abusive relationships. People are, you know, I don't feel my karma. I'm single. Uh-huh. Well, I'm not single now. My girl's in Czech Republic for 2 months, but mm-hmm. I'm not single.
Right.
Technically. But when I'm dating and when I'm really single.
Mm-hmm.
And I go out. Guys go out with girls. They say, "Oh, she's cute. She's hot. This is a hot girl right here, right?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, yeah, you don't say, "I don't like you. I just want to fuck you." Have you ever said that in your life?
Yeah, I have. I actually have.
But that's when you knew you couldn't get no pussy.
Yeah, when you get tired of pretending. After you get tired of pretending.
He's a funny name to say that. So here's the point. You know, you go out with a girl.
Yeah,
and you kind of like you don't mislead because you think maybe you're thinking to yourself maybe I'll be my girl and I'll keep her and then you fuck her
right
and then you start fucking and you don't have to discuss it for a little while you have a grace period
have a grace period
and you say I'm not really into a relationship and they're like this nigga
right
it's bad karma it's the same you know what the fuck you doing nigga
right yeah
so you know it's your karma and if you had an abusive relationship as a male doesn't matter what she did
right
it's what you did.
Right.
You put your dick in her.
Right. Yeah.
You knew her expectations were slightly different from yours.
Right.
Going in.
Even if she just wanted to be You know, even if she just said she didn't want, she also sometimes might tell you, you know, I'm not really into a relationship. And you're saying to yourself, 38-year-old model.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? Her last photo shoot was yesterday. She's trying to figure out where she's going next in life.
Right.
And she's fixing to give you the pussy, and she's not interested in a relationship.
Right.
Neither is her son, who's going to go into private school and hoping that she gets another photo shoot, which she may not get anymore.
Right.
She's looking at you like, this nigga, maybe he's going to be, and you know it, but you don't have to discuss at this point.
Right.
Put your dick in her. It's your karma.
Yeah.
You know?
So you're talking about awareness. That's what you're talking about.
You know what harm you cause. A him.
Yeah.
Right? Practice less harm. He's like, so you cause a lot of harm. Simone knows I'm a harm-causing motherfucker, right?
But you're over honest years, about it.
I try not to be, but I, you know, sometimes.
Right.
Right, Simone?
Yeah.
Right. You a harm-causing motherfucker.
Yeah. I mean, but like, but when you
are. I don't know if that's the way I should have put it.
But here's the thing.
But I don't try to, but it's not. But you have to be aware and conscious of what people's expectations are. It's not fair. And it's to say, oh, they knew better.
Right.
But let me ask you
this. They don't
know
better. Some people are used to a cycle of the same.
That's true.
Right.
I know. I watched Simone. She's used to a cycle of the same. Simone has some bitch. We knew she wasn't shit from the beginning. And she was dating this girl. This girl was not good for her. And, and Simone is like, you know, Simone, she's no good for you. This dude, no good for you. Right?
Why do you do that? Why do you date somebody
she's
you
fucking,
know?
I don't know.
You know why? Because deep down, she don't want to be in something. So Simone, you create. Why do you do that? Sabotaging shit.
She don't even like the nigga till he don't like her.
Simone, tell us why you do that.
If I knew that, I wouldn't have to be saving up for therapy.
Why you have to save up for therapy?
You really have to save up. Just go to one session and then we
this is a free session right now, Simone. It's a free session right now. Here's the thing, because I used to do shit like that.
That bitch is uglier than any man you could date. And she's a pimp.
Wow. I brought it up because you said you cry. And the thing about the crying is all that said to me is you
when
do not have an
bad
issue.
Path, right? The whole discussion was horrible just now.
What?
No, because
shit's important because the thing is that what struck me is that you're going, I'm in touch enough with a set of emotions that I don't have a problem with letting them be seen. And if guys who are getting so pissed off because a girl said you ain't shit, you didn't run no downs this week, your fucking record is is bombed, whatever that is, if you were conscious enough to go,
that was
that
Rihanna
hurt me.
Said your record bombed and you ain't shit.
You know, it'll get there.
He went right to it. Huh?
Yeah, I'm just saying, but if you're conscious enough to go, you know you're right, that does fuck me up, that does hurt me, you're an asshole for saying that shit to me, but it's true. Yeah. Then that might stop a dude from punching a chick in the face if he was able to go, damn, that is fucked up. I do feel bad. I am sad. I am hurt. I do want to cry. I do want to let this shit out. But
like
instead of doing
now,
that.
Now he's the doctor, this nigga, right?
He's not
like
a doctor.
Go ahead, Cloudy. So that's the only reason why I brought it up. You know, I mean, when you talk about that stillness and being able to, you know.
The idea is to be awake and try to accept things as, you know, I mean, more and more we want to be awake, right?
Right.
The present moment, there's no fear and anxiety or no emotion. That's why we meditate when we watch our thoughts. They come and they go without too much emotion. You can analyze them without each one affecting your nervous system and each one affecting your, you know, having you react.
Let me ask you a question about, like, single you. Like, when you do step out and you're in a room full of women, their intentions, like, how do you deal with you being you?
Well, even when a woman walks by a 6'4" male model, not a young one either, a 40-year-old male model,
right?
You know, he's a grown man,
right?
Okay. Male model, 6'4", African American, uh-huh, with muscles,
right?
Right.
And she walks right over to me and says, "I don't know your name, but you just seem so handsome."
How do you navigate? How do you deal with that?
How do I deal with that?
Yeah.
Well, you know that. Then I feel. You know, I feel I have to just say, well, I, what do you do? Well, I'm a philanthropist.
Uh-huh.
I write, you know, I run charities.
Right.
And then
so
end up
now,
fucking in the bathroom.
And then introducing it to the model.
And then she can meet the model later.
You're my man. Cause some harm. And
right.
Then,
right. Well, I mean, you knew that was wrong. You should right. have done it. I feel less guilty about something like that, though, honestly.
Yeah.
I feel that's guilty about that sometimes.
So since they, if that's the playing field they introduced, do you feel like that's?
I don't
part
feel
of
it's always a pass. Like, the point is that people do introduce playing fields, mm-hmm, that seem like they're less, and they are in some ways. You know, the playing field once, because their expectations are a little bit different. They want more, but they haven't. They've gotten used to not getting more, I guess.
Right. You know, I don't know. I mean, you say things like, you know, the girl told me this whole story about Leonardo. I ain't going to tell who the girl was. She said, he's coming up, he says, hi, I'm Leonardo. This is when he first got hot. Right? Uh-huh. He's like, he's a kind of a shy, he's a sweet guy. I've another day, he's very nice. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't know this story, but maybe he'll hear it. It's not bad. He'll think about it. He'll say, I'm glad I got rid of the bitch, probably. She's like, what's your, he says, hi, I'm Leonardo.
Right.
She said, really? Well, Leonardo who? And he was quiet. You know, his man, like, DiCaprio. He said, yeah, well, yeah, I'm Leonardo DiCaprio. She said, yeah, but what do you do? His nigga's like, yo, he's in fucking Titanic, bitch. Like,
right,
fuck, you know,
right.
You don't know what the fuck he does. You know?
Right.
She's like, oh, what's Titanic? I didn't see that. I keep hearing about that.
Right.
Like, nigga, who are you? So it kind of, she said, cut him down to size.
Right. Uh-huh.
So she told me that story. She went out with him off and on for years.
Right.
And so I finally, after that whole story about how she cut him down to size and straightened him out,
mm-hmm.
it made him more like, you know, humble.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, right now he wouldn't even stomach that shit. He'd be like, whatever, bitch.
Right.
Because I'm Leonardo.
Right. Right. Beat
but back
it.
Then,
right.
You know, he's maybe shy, right? He's young.
Yeah.
She says, I said, what, at the end, you know, did you ever tell him? She said, no. So she was just still gunning to get him back for the eighth time.
Right.
She'll never get him back again. Now they've been broken up for years. But the story, you know, she just never even. You know, so about the people's intention,
mm-hmm.
your intention is that she's so beautiful and you don't know no better.
Right.
If she could just speak English,
right.
you're probably okay with it.
Right, now. Right.
And
right.
then, so you are not much, you know, worse than her. Right. She's after power and money.
Yeah.
And you know, affluence or space.
Security.
She wants to be in your new, oh my God, you know it's like casting Steve McQueen's thing? How many girls call me? Like, hi, you want to have dinner?
Right.
I read for your part. You know, that comes out at dinner. I said, right, I've been right. wanting to have dinner with you, bitch, forever. Now you want to have dinner?
Right.
So we're having dinner, and then she tells me, you know, I read for the Steve McQueen pilot. Because, it's you know, it's shooting soon. And mm-hmm. and one girl, and Harriet's the most beautiful girl on the planet.
Wow.
So that means every beautiful girl on the planet
is competing.
Gunning for that role.
Right.
You know, and then she has to be 6 foot, so she has to be a model actress.
Oh, shit.
You know, she has to be great.
Right, right.
And she'd be any color. So I mean, any color. African, fucking right. French, black, you know, right. all kind of shit. So, you know, you arrive at, we think she looks a little bit like Noémie Lenoir.
Right.
You know, I mean, fuck, you look like Noémie Lenoir. I want to meet you.
Right.
But you want to have dinner with me after. Remember we met? You know, I don't know. We both have, it's not, you know, people always thinking, oh, it's their fault. You, nigga, are right. looking for beauty before substance, too.
Yeah.
Right.
And
yeah.
substance comes up later, it's true. And they may be looking for power and interesting, and but then after they find out you're a cornball, they might not like you either.
Right, right.
They go away. They'll walk. These girls who are so beautiful, I'm talking about, they'll, if he's a cornball, I don't care if you got $30 billion, they can't wake up and listen to your cornball shit every day. I'm hoping that was just a prerequisite. There's a right. list of things the girl's looking for, just like a list of things you're looking for.
Right. Yeah.
And you may be a little bit insecure and want beauty as somewhere too high on the list. They want money too high on their list as well.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Right.
But, you know, they know what they want.
So they
it's
think,
not only
yeah.
one thing.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Because I know a lot of rich people can't get no ass.
Yeah, yeah. That's crazy, right?
You know a lot of rich people.
Yeah, I know a lot. You know, mm-hmm. I know a handsome rich people can't get no ass. They just don't know what to say. They just don't know what to say.
It's corny motherfuckers.
So what is.
Right.
Shit goes to the wrong people, man.
What is that? What is the, what's the mindset you took into starting to move through new economic and social circles where you decided, fuck it, I'm wearing my sneakers with my blazer, I'm wearing my baseball cap, this is who I am, I'm not changing it because of moving through these places. Like, was that a conscious decision?
No, it just became easier. I mean, there was a moment I made a conscious decision to put on corduroy sports jacket with fucking suede patches
mm-hmm.
so that I could get in the building as a manager of artists like Curtis Blow and mm-hmm. Jimmy Spice and all that, because they used to hate rap, and they hated the niggas associated with rap so much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about like in 79, 80, 81, all that. Even that picture in my, with me and Madonna, they don't have a sport jacket on. Right?
Come on. Trying to fit in.
Yeah.
Trying to be accepted.
I have a picture of my house. You've seen it.
Yeah.
Madonna. You know, I look, it's about 83 or something.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, I was just trying to. And then when Run DMC got hot, I was able to, like, fuck everybody.
Yeah.
You know, because Run DMC, it wasn't, it was more, you know, stable, and you got to suck up to us for no matter what. And I could be.
But you didn't stop though. You didn't dispense with some decorum just because you could. You found one that worked for you.
Yeah, no, I want to be perceived as a compassionate, you know, loving, decent,
you know, good human being. I want to have good relationships with everybody. I want people to go away and say, oh, he's a nice guy. I don't want to go away and say, oh, he's a thug. Or he's mm-hmm. a. But the language and all that, people always, you know, I like sometimes I say things language-wise to mm-hmm. wake people up. You know, black people, they don't speak the King's English, mm-hmm. but they may be more compassionate, loving, and sweet and whatever. And I think there's too much judgment mm-hmm. on culture that you want to imitate the culture, but then you want to point at it.
Right.
Just because somebody speaks a certain way, you want to have a judgment of them.
Yeah.
And I see too much of that. So I think about that later, but I don't think it was too much of my process, but maybe subconsciously
right.
that's part of it. You yeah. know, it's like I love black people. I love black culture. I love right. style, swag that we have. I don't think it's, you know, doesn't a signal to ignorance.
Right, right.
All right. I mean, we proof. We know it. We
know.
People. Right, but everybody else don't know that.
What you got going away? His lunch is here. Russell's a busy man. He has taken an hour out of his day to sit and have this conversation
well, I like
with us.
I owe you anyway, nigga. If I can deliver on the promise of that script, make a real big show run up, a big show out of it, then it'll be okay. But other than that, you've been great to me, so I owe you. That's why I'm doing this.
All right.
Not because I want to be in the blog.
You can give two fucks about that part.
What you got going away? Oh, anything?
Well, food blog.
Yeah, man. I'll send it to you. You'll like okay. it. You'll like it. I'm going to start doing little videos for it and shit. Yeah, you'll like it.
What's the last question?
The last question I'm going to ask you is I've known you for years, and
yes.
you used to intimidate the fuck out of me.
Me?
Yeah, son. Like, you have no idea. Just because it's an aspect of wanting to be liked by you. Like, we see you, like, oh, shit, I want Russell to notice me. You know what I mean?
You should go meet my head of content. I bet you got 13 parts for you.
Oh, word?
Yes.
All right, cool. That made my day
Kevin
to hear
come
that.
Upstairs.
And so what's crazy is I just want to thank you just for – I did not know you came from a place of unselfishness. And that you came from a place of such consciousness, because to a lot of people, you are also like a father figure in a weird way. I don't know if you want to hear that shit.
I'm old.
But like, but it's not about age. It's just about your go get it. Just the way you don't take no.
The way you go about. No,
oh my god!
Day,
yeah.
Oh my god! And nigga, that's why I have this all deaf digital. I tell you, insanity because. They'll tell me what the fuck is funny. They'll tell me, like, you know, well, we did help not Kevin Hart, we did help Cat Williams. Nigga, you see that poster there? It was 10 years from before you ever heard of Cat Williams, yeah, motherfucker. Right, you see his name on there?
Right. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You ain't fucking discovered Kevin Hart or Cat Williams because you played him twice on your network.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, I don't know if my friend owns runs the network, but he don't know. No, they don't know. They don't know.
Right.
They're not.
Right.
I don't think, and I think there's an insensitivity in Hollywood. I don't like to use the word racist because they don't fucking know. And right. they're the most compassionate, sweet people in the world. They got no niggas for friends at all.
At all.
At all.
At all. Yeah.
But he they helped Obama.
Yeah.
So they mean well. They just don't have no niggas for friends.
Yeah. So my last question would be like, what would you say to someone?
But niggas don't have no white people friends either.
Okay.
A lot of that. Well, we have four. I mean, no, we have people relationships, but it's true that the lack of integration in Hollywood has become the norm so much so that the black agent represents the black people. Everybody, there's a segregation that we also buy into
because
it's an infrastructure that pays us.
Yes. That's what I wanted to ask you about. Like, is
that's
there?
That's why you didn't make it. Me and you ain't making Blackish. We're making something that's more progressive, right? More fun.
That's what I'm asking you. Is like with music, is like when you believe. I'm telling you,
my first hit record I had in 15 years is Nikki Heaton. She's a blonde girl from South Africa.
Wow.
And when I ask her what she is, she said, "I'm a boss bitch." Her record's on the chart right now, top 10.
Wow.
Right.
She said, "I'm a boss bitch." That's. I don't know if she's Taylor Swift or she's fucking Nicki Minaj.
Wow.
I don't know what the fuck she is. She's just singing. She started off singing Chief Keef songs on a guitar. Right?
Oh, I know that. Yeah, I seen her. Yeah.
Nicki
Heaton. Yeah, little white chick. Yeah, fat ass.
With the fat ass. Yeah, right. Big fat ass. Right.
Ass and titties.
That's all you need. But here's my question, man,
she
for you.
She can sing it right, though.
Like, with music, you already have that mindset. This is hot because I'm telling you it's hot. But when we create a television show... Right.
Oh, I hate that. The motherfuckers stomach our shit. We can't make them buy it or nothing.
Yeah.
I hate them motherfuckers.
But you already know.
I gave him a Bernie Mac pilot
that
I think was 10 times better than the Bernie Mac pilot that ended up getting. They said, what the fuck is he saying? NBC, let me shoot it. What's he saying?
Yeah.
What's he saying, motherfucker? Listen a little more.
Was that Pearl's Kitchen?
Yes. Yeah. Pearl's Kitchen's a 1,000 times better shit that he put on the air.
Wow.
We had Adele Givens. She used to come over the house like, what the fuck going on in this house? Like, you know, do you remember Pearl's Kitchen?
Yeah, I remember Pearl's Kitchen.
Would you write it?
No.
Ralph Farquaad wrote it?
No, but I was touring with Bernie at the time when that went up. So, yeah, me and we were really tight, you know.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Small world. Small all right, man. All thank right, you man. So much. Thank a pleasure, you, baby.
Yeah, no doubt.
Did you hear what he did? When?
When he was done, yeah.
When it's done, he's done.
Oh, how you looked at me, it was great. Yeah, I wish I could have seen.
Yeah, the funny thing, two people do that. I've only seen two people do that. When Cosby's done, he states, all right, I'm done. Bang. And, and it's over.
Yeah. And what did Russ do? He was like.
He's like, thank you.
Thank you.
And it was it.
That was it. Done.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and it's like, I really admire that because.
Shit lingers. Like, people linger.
Yeah.
All right, man. Yeah, we gotta get together.
If
man.
You're on the
drag
phone,
it out, draw it out.
If you're on the phone with Cosby, and when he finishes his conversation, all right, I'm done. Bam, and then he's gone.
Wow.
He says he's finished. He hangs up, and that's the end of the conversation. He's not waiting for your goodbyes or none of that. Wow. He'll talk to you for a long time, and you know, and it's all great. But when he's done, all right, thank you. Bam, and it's well, hey, he's gone.
Wow.
And when Russell said thank you, he's like thank you. Boom, he's done.
Wasn't time. One more thing. Nope.
And it's like, as we were kind of winding down, it was cool because he's like, okay, you got one more question.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, okay,
like
he's getting there.
Yeah.
And it was like a question and a half or whatever. He's feeling it out. And then he goes, this is it. All right, boom, we're finished.
We're done. Yeah.
Now, the fun thing is that we'll be sitting in his office for another hour after that.
Yeah.
Oh, easily.
Because another brother who we hope to get on the podcast, can we say his name or you want to?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, it was Omar Johnson. He's awesome dude. He runs Beats by Dre. He's the head of that. He very creative, cool cat. And we'd love to get him on his podcast. And I need to call you to ask you for some headphones.
Right.
But he came in to do a meeting with Russell because Russell was developing. Russell's place is like Motown. Like his office is like the modern day.
It's so cool.
It's
Zen. It's Zen Town then.
Yeah,
it's
Zen
like,
Town.
It's like everybody there is an artist in some way, shape, or form. And he is like fostering all of that.
Like well, it's like when I was pulling up outside the building, there was a young lady that's a friend of yours, a comedian.
Yeah.
You know, and she was out there walking around doing something. She works there. And then I came inside and there was another young lady, Grace.
Yeah, Ashima was there. Ashima Franklin, he's talking about. Very funny comedian.
Is it Grace Broughton?
I don't remember her last name. She's from Atlanta.
Yeah,
writer.
But she was at the front. She was at the front desk and we were talking and it's like, yeah, she's a writer. And, it's just, and you know, young black people who are
creative types.
Yeah, and I think that it must be so cool to be in a place with a guy who has this formidable career and who's also being generous with opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fostering.
And it's real opportunities. Yeah, it ain't no bullshit. It's like, no, this dude's doing stuff.
Yeah.
And it's a creative space. They got studio space in there and they're working. And so it was just really exciting.
Yeah, man. That was incredible.
Was
incredible.
You know, it's funny. Here's the other thing that was surprising to me. No phone.
Oh, you saw so Omar came in. Yeah, Omar came in and had a and they had a meeting and we got to sit in, you know.
That was post our podcast. Just kind of sitting
they
in.
They just kind of just did their meeting with us there. And that was really cool to see.
Well, and the funny thing is cuz you know, he has a way. Russell has a way of being communal where your business is done.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to conduct whatever business he has with the next person, and he's able to do it in a way that it doesn't seem like he's being disrespectful to them by you still being present, and to the extent that he might have something he wants you to see or you know, it's a very and if he needs you to be gone,
you're
gone.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like you kind of know that walking into that room, and that's happened to me before. You know, it's almost like, is he conducting three or four meetings at one time?
Right.
It kind of feels like it.
Yeah.
You know, and then he's on the phone for a second, and, you know, it's a very active, you know, his space is a reflection of what's going on inside his head.
What were you saying about no phone?
Well, yeah, because from way back, and, you know, I'm talking about when we were doing Chris Rock's show, you know, we'd bump into Russell from time to time, just doing stuff, whatever.
Yeah.
And that was back when the StarTAC phones were new, right? Yeah. It was the first Motorola flip phone that was really fly.
Uh-huh.
Like, it was the one that everybody, and, like, Russell had that.
Uh-huh.
But, like, he's, like, you talk to Russell for 90 seconds,
phone
rings.
Yes.
And for some reason, it doesn't, you don't feel like you're being dissed.
Right.
When he answers the phone, takes that call, closes that, and then starts talking to you again.
Yeah. Yeah. So great.
It's an art.
It's seamless.
Yeah.
Yeah. This nigga want me to do the thing with him. Yeah, it was great.
So,
and then
he's
going.
Just got a weird thing where there's no off switch.
Yeah.
So now to hear him, you know, so that really was like, I genuinely wanted to know, like, what's up with you in yoga?
Mm-hmm.
Because
meditation and yoga, yeah, and
quieting the mind.
I didn't know much about it, and I'm name dropping, but Irv Gotti is the one that said to me, you know, Russell's really into yoga, yeah, and I wrote a script working with Irv one time, and we wrote Russell's character in. And it was all about Russell taking calls, doing yoga. That was like the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I really kind of wanted to get in that space. But he really just had some great things to say about that as a practice.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the spirituality, the business, the whole thing. And, yeah, you kind of get a sense of, yeah, how do you get into this space? How do you move through that space?
Yeah.
You know, I bought a sport coat, so.
Dude, he found enlightenment because it was ass in the room. He was
initially.
Come on, it doesn't get any better than that. I went for the bitches. There was bitches there. And at the end, I felt great.
Right.
Hey, it's a win-win. It's great.
Yeah, man. So this is really, I was really excited, man. It was really great.
Yeah, everybody, this podcast you need to listen to more than once, because it's like a really good album where it's like you're going to miss some good shit. Like,
right.
You need to listen to this.
Right.
Like over and over, and it's just the right length where you can listen to it. Like,
you know, it's funny. Times. Like, it is one of these kind of weird things. Like Russell knows me now, you know, but that happened over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we was joking, we was walking out of building because we, you know, we don't usually do this on the road. But we actually had to, you know,
yeah,
it was
we
Russell.
Went to him,
yeah,
yeah,
so it's Russell, so we had to go to him. and so we get in there, and he recognizes Owen.
Right.
Now you've been in his house.
I've not been in his
house. Oh, you haven't been to the house?
No, I did. I did Russell Simmons Presents The Ruckus.
Okay.
I do his room, the ADD.
Right.
I did Def Jam.
Right.
But mine didn't air.
Right.
I did, shit, man. And then I saw him at Arsenio.
Right.
And I told him about my dad, and I read his book.
Right.
And so he kept walking. Every time he would see me, he'd be like, my nigga. Like, he would dap me up. And I was like, yo, this is great.
Right.
And, so he knows me, man, and it's from those things. But he remembered me from Russell Simmons Presents The Ruckus because I had a really good set there. He like dapped me up in the middle of my set because he sat in the audience. So he knows me, but he didn't, you know. It's still,
and then
solidified. And that's what was funny to me, because when we get in this office, it's kind of like, oh, you're that guy that keeps being in places where I am.
Yeah, 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 yeah. You got comedian nigga. Yeah, it was great. It was great. And he kept looking at me during the whole podcast. And at the end, it was great. He was like, I got 13 roles for you. I'm like, all right.
Like, that's hilarious. Like, you've been in, it's like, oh, you're the guy that's in all that shit that I do.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah, so no, it was a lot of fun, and I'm really glad that he sat and he took the time. Like, and the thing about the phone is that we talked close to an hour, and a phone didn't ring.
Yeah,
until like 50. Yeah,
yeah,
like,
a big conference thing.
Right,
rang,
right. And that was way.
And Simone was sweet enough to take.
And that's
it over.
Unusual.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just saying that's unusual. So I was impressed and really did appreciate that he really did stop and take the time to, you know, fucking do a podcast,
thank
which is
you,
cool.
Uncle Russ.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, man.
Uncle Rush.
All right. Yeah. He's at on Twitter at Uncle Rush.
Yeah, man. Yep. And he and his Instagram, he puts some of the most inspiring quotes, man.
He's inspiring.
Titties and ass.
Titties and ass. He was like, you know that. But then he also knows.
Hey,
I'm telling you, man, they can occupy the same space. That's all I'm telling you.
Grounded and grounded.
Titties and ass, and then some enlightened thing that make you want to get out and do something.
Right.
It's great.
That was actually the best thing for me in that entire podcast of him saying that, you know, it's about doing something.
Doing the work.
You got to do things.
And he had that as a quote. He had something like that.
You got to do things.
Yeah.
You can't just be sitting around waiting for shit to happen and being mad because it's something not going this way or mad with somebody else. God, you busy yourself with actually doing something.
Make that your practice.
Yeah.
And then that's, you know, then maybe that will turn into something.
All right.
Until it's like prayer. Subscribe to this.
Speaking of doing something, subscribe to our podcast.
Yeah, do that.
Do that and comment.
Leave a comment. And if you're listening to it, thank you. Thank you for listening, and keep tweeting about us and tell your friends and make us number one on.
I keep shouting out Grace because we're Facebook friends. And
you already knew her. Okay.
Well, no, I didn't.
Oh,
she's one. You know, because you know you get on Facebook, you accept people.
Okay.
And so I'm talking to her. I say hello. What's your name? Blah blah blah. Uh-huh. She's like, yeah, right. And blah blah blah. And she goes, we're Facebook friends.
Oh boy.
It's kind of one of those things where it's like, well, this is a nice instance of meeting a Facebook person,
a real person.
Yeah,
right.
It's like, oh shit, you're one of my Facebook friends, and I had because I just accepted a bunch of motherfuckers.
That's cool.
And I don't know. She said maybe she commented or something. You know, you have these little exchanges. I don't know who the hell I'm talking to.
Oh, hilarious. Right. You probably went in and heckled one of her things.
No, I asked her.
Your day not happy. Shut up.
I was like, I'm cool. I was like, was it nice? She was like, hey, it's cool. All right, this is great. So
cool,
I keep. So I was like I said, she's a young writer and keep working on your stuff, man. You got here.
Yeah.
You started from Atlanta, now you're at the bottom.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
You're on the map.
Yeah. He's Owen Smith for real on
there
a bunch
go.
Of stuff.
And it's the number 4, not F-O-R.
Owen Smith, number 4, real.
Yeah.
People just
look
Google
me up
you.
And Owen
whatever.
Smith live.
You like the ninja.
Just Google Ali.
And who knows what you might find.
You're going to find him with long hair. It's going to be a picture of him.
It's
people,
me with
people
dreads.
Know him. That's
short,
that's
long.
With dreads, right?
If you Google me now, I'm going to Google myself for a
I
second.
I think it's that other picture.
I don't, there's several pictures. Oh, why am I? I just Googled the word Google.
Oh, God.
Somebody fax me that JPEG. I need to get that ASAP.
I know, right? I'm just Googling myself.
I was looking at the www.google.
I know. http://://
Oh,
www.
Cool.
That's worldwide. All
right,
man.
So my IMDb comes up, to Wikipedia, my Twitter, Alias Smith and Leroy comes up. And then my photographs page, that's what I give a shit about.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
You go. Okay, so do a little Google of Ali.
Yeah, do a little Google.
And that's where you find him.
Stuff. Go to my photographs page. Just see some interesting pictures.
You got a
there.
Wikipedia?
Cool pics.
It's all about my photos, man. It's all
about
my photos.
The photos.
All right, that's all
about
the
photos. Right, I got a food blog.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, and Raw Russell would really love it. Simone, they going to be down with it.
Right.
I'm telling you, man, change your life
Wait,
one
now,
meal
hold
at a time.
I just want one more question. Kali, the dog. Tell me the story of
the dog. The dog's blind.
The dog is blind.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Oh, dog well, is not blind. The dog has no eyes.
No eyes.
Because I've seen this dog a number of times.
Glaucoma.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And
I should post
she adopted
a picture
him,
of the dog.
And she wanted a dog with special needs.
She did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they found
Simone
each other.
Simone loves the animals.
Oh,
she's,
gosh.
Did you see the tattoo on her back?
I did not.
No, I didn't
Animal
see
rights
that.
Activist.
Oh, wow.
Good for her.
Yeah.
I should post a picture of the dog.
You should.
I have a picture of the dog.
I believe the dog's name is Hubble Yoda.
Hubble Yoda?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's great.
I know.
Okay.
That means a lot.
All right. I am. I'm going to post a picture. I'm going to send Uncle Rush a picture of the dog.
Yeah.
I'm going to post
Simone
it on
Simone would love that.
Yeah.
And they go back.
All right. So when we post this, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to post the dog as well as some other stuff.
And for all of you animal lovers out there, dogs with special needs do need homes.
They do.
All right.
So adopt.
And if you
rescue.
If you can live with
no
Russell
breeds.
Simmons,
don't buy a
that's
breed.
Really
adopt
nice.
And rescue.
Well, I don't think the dog lives with Russell.
No.
Yeah.
That's her dog.
Yeah, that's her dog.
Yeah.
Oh, she's just there a lot.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
All right, y'all.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So the feature beat.
Is
we got one.
Yeah, what is it?
It's interesting. It's Stogie Santana featuring Lico Kid. It's just titled Yoga. Remix.
Oh man, this song is so funny. Yeah.
It's just
Come
called
on, man.
Yoga.
This has everything in it.
Just listen
you'll,
to
you'll
it.
Get
just
it.
Just listen to the lyrics.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Man. All right.
Thanks for listening.
Next time.
Peace.
Bye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Squad. Hey, champ. Got a bad bitch. I make her do yoga. Make her do yoga. Make her do yoga. Got a bad bitch. Said I make her do yoga. Make her do yoga. Make her do yoga. Got a bad bitch. I make her do yoga. Make her do yoga. Make her do yoga.
Let's get it.
Got a bad bitch. I make her do yoga. Make her do yoga. Make her do yoga. Got a bad bitch. I made her do yoga. Made her bend over. Hit her on the sofa. She want me over, but I just wanna fuck. She wanna be closer, pussy, I can't get enough. You know I hit it rough, you know I beat it up. Like get her on the beats, but I had to switch it up. Stogie Saturday, your girl act like it's a holiday. But she just average, so bitch, I don't wanna stay. I just wanna get that top. This ain't no love song, bitch, this about that top. Yeah, I just wanna get that guap. So bitch, help me set this bag over on the block. Why? Got a bad bitch, I make her do yoga. Make her do yoga, make her do yoga. Got a bad bitch, said I make her do yoga, make her do yoga, make her do yoga. Got a bad bitch, I make her do.
little yoga. Ain't wanna fuck her on my bed, so we did it on the sofa. Stogie Saturday, so little nigga, now it's over. Talking all that shit, pussy nigga, game over. Pulled up in that Rover, switching lanes. Bitch, she a flipper, sucking on a thing. You ain't know, now you know, little nigga. So, little nigga, made a hundred off a show, little nigga, huh? And I ain't talking petty change. Bitch, talking dick, but a nigga still switching on them lanes. Rolling blunts, doing things. Smoking on a J-Do, talking all that shit. I do the shit, little Jake Flo.
Got a bad bitch, I make her do yoga. Make her do yoga, make her do yoga. Got a bad bitch, said I make her do yoga. Make her do yoga, make her do yoga. Got a bad bitch, I make her do yoga. Make her do yoga, make her do yoga. Got a bad bitch, I make her do yoga. Make her do yoga, make her do yoga.
This episode of Alias Smith and the Roy, compliments of Producers Guild of America.